Hey everyone, today's episode is from my appearance on the Classroom series. I was interviewed by Remy Lubscher, and she asked me some incredible questions about the best advice I've ever gotten and given. Make sure you join me on Fridays, free training on Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. All you have to do is text me at 949-298-2905 or email me at david@dmeltzer.com. And of course, you can always go to dmeltzer.com/training to sign up. It's free. Come join me.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
I know a lot about your story, but can you take us way back and tell us a little bit about your experience with failure? Like, let's dive right in. So yeah. Many people right now have either been furloughed or laid off during this time, and like recent grads are struggling to get a job. So I think this topic is definitely going to be of importance to a lot of people.
Well, you know, I have dealt with rejection, failure, and have shifted the paradigm as I got older to just look at it as lessons. And I think that's a really important thing. If you could ever get to that perspective where every time that you fail, get a no, make a mistake, that you can just say, it's a lesson. I always joke around that pain, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual and financial pain is just an indicator. It's a turn signal that you have a lesson to learn. Now, that's easier said than done. It's like telling someone that's depressed, hey, just look at the world with a glass half full. And that just... you can't do that to people. So for me, I grew up wanting to be rich, to buy my mom a house and a car. The only reason I wanted to be rich was to buy my mom a house and a car. I have an extraordinary mom. And the only time I wasn't happy is when we had financial pressure. So in my mind, money bought happiness and love. And then I was able to do that 9 months out of law school. And everything in my life always affirmed or reaffirmed that money was so important, that it was the key to happiness, the key to love. Everything I did, the girls that I dated, the girls I married, everything. And then talk about a big failure. My biggest failure came 2 years before I lost everything. And I lost over $100 million. And I know a lot of people would say, well, that's a pretty big mistake or a pretty big failure. My failure was the failure of understanding money. I ended up not only losing all of my money, but I actually lost the house and car that I bought my mom because I forgot to take it out of my name. But the real mistake or the real lesson or failure was losing my values, right? Okay. Losing gratitude. I grew up with nothing, but I lived in a world of gratitude. I was so thankful just to be able to eat. I was thankful for my siblings, for a place to rest my head. I forgot about forgiveness. You know, I lived on this pedestal now of Midas where I was so unforgiving of myself that I was a self-loather. Everything I hated about other people were all the things I found out later that I hated about myself. And I had to forgive myself so I could give forgiveness to others for being as imperfect or even less imperfect than me. And then accountability was a really big one. So gratitude gave me perspective or happiness. It allows me to find the light, the love, and the lessons. Forgiveness gave me peace, but accountability gave me control. And this is a really important thing right now because a lot of people are very afraid because they feel out of control. They feel so much uncertainty.
Absolutely.
And when you shift your paradigm to say, okay, I'm accountable for every single thing that I've attracted in my life. What am I supposed to learn from it? When you can do this, and all of these things that I'm talking about are just practices. I'm still practicing. I'm getting better at it. My game's getting better at all of these things. And then finally, the biggest shift in the paradigm was inspiration. I always live my life, the more that I give, the more I get. And a lot of people out there will be like, of course, that's right. The more you give, the more you get. But when you can look at things a different way, I believe that that's trading because I would give with expectations. I would give with judgment. I would give with conditions, even charitably. I gave millions of dollars charitably, but I wanted acknowledgement and recognition. I wanted respect. I wanted all these different things from people, whether it was giving them down payments for their house or their parents' house, cars that I gave, charitable communities. It was all about trading. Once I shifted my paradigm from when I was born in a world of not enough, and I was a victim. I looked at everyone else. Why do they have more than me? To a world of just enough, where I was buying every single thing that I didn't need to impress people I didn't even like. To now, a world of more than enough, a more than enough of everything for everyone, where I'm receiving so I can give. I'm not giving to receive. I'm receiving so I can give it away with value, appreciation to other people.
That's amazing. It's so funny. For the past 2.5 months, I've been hosting live like college power hours where I'm having alumni and current students come on my Instagram live show and talk about their experience, because kids can't go to a college campus anymore. They don't have that experience, and that's so important to them. I'm sure you know that with your daughters. Getting on campus is such an amazing experience and helps them, you know, decide where they want to spend their next 4 years. So we've been trying to do that. And for me, it started out as a way to pivot and make my business more digital and connect with my customers. But it's been so rewarding and fulfilling. And just knowing that I'm helping people has it. That's all I need. Like it's an incredible feeling.
That is awesome. And I spent the last 20 years doing trainings to empower others just to be happy. And so I totally know. Ironically, it's funny that you say that, because my daughter is graduating early as a senior. So she still misses campus and wants to go back for her last semester. But the worst was my freshman daughter at IU, because she doesn't even want to go back to school unless she can have a normal campus experience. She doesn't. She's so I love her because she's so truthful. She's like, I don't care about the classes, Dad. I'm not going to college. I can learn anywhere.
She wants whole experience.
Yeah, I just want the experience. I'll go to the classes because you want me to. But you and I both know that I can learn more off the internet, listen to you and Gary Vee and people like you, than I do in a classroom with 600 people or whatever. So totally. I think it's really important, because one of the values that people have to take inventory is experiential values. And you are such a great catalyst of allowing people to enhance that experiential value and share those experiences and the situational knowledge and emotional intelligence that comes from those experiences.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the questions I also wanted to ask you was, your career path was not linear at all. So I was wondering, you know, for people who are graduating and their career isn't going as planned, what skills have you, you know, used that you learned from school that people can use in any career path that they may end up taking?
Well, it's actually one of the most unknown skill sets, but I learned to ask and attract. I think the best skill that I have is to ask people to learn a series of questions, to ask how I can be of service of value so I can find opportunities in any situation and provide value to that opportunity. But even more importantly, radical humility, which is a series of questions to ask, do you know anyone that can help me? And I think the younger you are, the more important it is to make old people like me feel good by asking us, you know, somebody that can help. It's such a great honor. It's so, it makes me feel so good. I live my life in mentorship, and I'm still a mentee, but I live my life to help other people and to be of service. And when people ask me for help, it makes me feel extremely good. And it is an instant dose of happiness, which is to me the strongest virus alive. It will strengthen your spiritual, mental, and physical being. It will protect you by strengthening your immune system. And the best part about happiness, and that's why I love coming on your IG, I can just see you're glowing with happiness, is that it's spread virally just by witnessing, right? People who witness you are happy. The minute they don't, you have to say anything. It's an energy that is shared between an emotional connection of people. And so I think it's really important to ask and attract as a skill set. Last thing to help people pragmatically. Yeah. Don't worry. Like you said, my career is like crazy nonlinear career. But the reason it is, and the reason that I've been blessed, is that I've always focused on my capabilities, my skills, my knowledge, and my desire. I've always had a must be what I can be attitude, whether it was athletics or medicine or law or selling or raising money or running companies and sports agent or marketing, whatever it was, I'm always focused on how do my capabilities, skills, knowledge, and desire align with or are synergistic to or supplementary to an area that are aligned with my values, like making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, and having a lot of fun. So every step of my career from the time that I went to law school has been looking at those capabilities, which is how I ended up selling legal research on the internet in 1992, and then being in the wireless proxy server space, and then running the first smartphone, the first Windows CE device in 1999, to running a sports agency with the most notable sports agency with Mr. Jerry Maguire, Lee Steinberg, and then being a sports marketing media, my own TV show, movies, podcasts, Instagram lives, LinkedIn lives,
you all name things it.
I do. It's capability. I just keep enhancing my capability. And then I assess the opportunities as they arise, synergistic and supplementary to what my capabilities are. The more capabilities you have, the more options you have. Just like the more money you have, then you can buy what you want. If you buy the right things, you'll be happy. If you buy the wrong things, you won't.
Right. No, and the way that you're describing it, you know, those capabilities, that's your money. That's your spending money right there. And then do with it what you will.
It's a currency. It's an object of energy you put in the flow.
I love that. Okay. Something else I wanted to ask you was, can you tell us more about your philosophy regarding getting all A's and one B? I know a lot of students are watching, and that will definitely be an exciting thing for them to learn about.
Well, I was born with siblings that never got a B, and I was the first one in my family to get a B. And the advice actually came from my grandfather, who initially said, so I was so crushed when I got a B. And he said, you know, well, at least you have room for improvement. But moreover, what I learned, and this is the advice I give my girls going to college. The older one never took it. The younger one takes it seriously.
Okay.
I told him, and you guys will believe me, if you're in school, you'll know this is true. It takes twice as much effort to get all A's, twice as much effort to get all A's than it does to get all A's in one B. That last A, that one really hard class, bad teacher, whatever it may be, it takes up just as much time as all the other classes. So I tell people, I'd rather use that time for something that I enjoy. So go ahead, get all A's in one B instead of all A's, and then use that other time to be happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that advice. I wish that I had that advice when I was in college, so that would almost be, I could tell my parents, I got a few B's. I took the advice too seriously.
Good.
But I ended up okay, I think.
I do too.
I also wanted to ask you, taking us back to, like, since this is the classroom series and college-aged kids, you had spoken about friends, and you had chosen the wrong friends at a point in your life right before you were that failure. How do you know who the right friends are and who to align yourself and who to choose to be your friend?
Great question. My favorite line to my kids is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And so why taking inventory of your values is so important, because not only does it tell you when you're surrounding yourself with the right people, but also the right job, the right sports, the right fun. So I tell everyone, take inventory of your personal values every day, your experiential values, which we talked about, your giving and receiving values. Mm-hmm. And you understand how I believe and look at giving and receiving now. But take inventory every day. And the second caveat to that is, don't be afraid to be a hypocrite. Especially when I was young, I was so afraid to tell people that I changed my mind or changed my values, right? I had to like stick to stuff that I thought I told everyone at 21 that I thought was the truth. And the one truth that I know is, I don't know what I don't know. That's the only truth that I do know. So I'm very comfortable being a hypocrite. I'm very comfortable someone saying, hey man, I just saw this video. That's almost the exact opposite of what you valued 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no shit, because there's COVID, brother. And I had no clue as usual what the future has in store for me. And so my values have shifted and I realized, you know what? I don't want to travel anymore 200 days a year. That isn't the values I have. I'm not the best dad I can be. I'm not the best husband I can be. And you know what? The money's not worth it anymore. Where I used to say, oh yeah, receiving that money, that's going to provide all this stuff. I changed my mind.
That's awesome. I love that. All right. That's another great one I could use. I can change my mind. No. And it sounds straightforward, but it's hard. It's difficult.
Yeah. You know why?
Why?
Because people don't want to vote for what they want. It's one of the biggest lessons of my life. I started to really vote for what I want. I stopped trying to please everybody. And I'd rather people literally not like me for who I am than love me for who I'm not. I'm not going to manifest what other people want for me. I'm not going to vote for what other people want for me and then resent them for it and be disappointed that I got what I didn't want. I know what I want. I know my values. I know my systems. I know I don't know what I don't know. And I'm going to vote for it. And I'm going to elect it into my life. And when I elect it, I'm going to take accountability. I'm going to be gracious for it. I'm going to forgive myself for the lessons I learned. And I'm going to be inspired the majority of the time.
That's incredible. I definitely find myself trying to please everybody, and then you only end up hurting yourself because you can't please everybody. It's impossible.
You look like a pleaser. I could have called that one.
This is true. You'll have to talk to my parents sometime. They can tell you I'll be like agonizing over something in the amount of time if I just made a decision, but you don't want to upset someone. That's really difficult.
Oh, I know.
And that's
that.
Definitely something.
My oldest was like that. And I was the same way. So much time, energy, and emotion wasted trying to be a good person and kind.
Mm-hmm. I think that if you're able to practice everything you said, you'll still be able to accomplish that and also, you know, do what's right by you. For sure.
You're right.
Okay. How do you keep your day structured during COVID? It is so different. It's a complete different world. And can you elaborate on what it means to be a student of your calendar? Because that is absolutely fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's the cornerstone of my life. So first, you need to have two routines. So I have a normal daily routine, which consists of, because people like to know it, I wake up at 4 a.m. every day. I live yesterday to make sure that I wake up at 4 a.m. I meditate for 20 minutes to find the highest frequency that I can, because I believe in plateauing and growing. I don't believe, like the myth of Sisyphus, to, you know, push a big boulder up to the top of the hill just to have it fall down. But I meditate for 20 minutes. I get ready in 10 minutes to go to work out. I then go work out for an hour, come back at 5:30, and I study. I study my calendar, and I study and do research for interviews and books and podcasts and all the things I do from 5:30 to 6:30. Then I turn everything off from 6:30 to 7:30, spend time with my family, getting ready. I'm usually the one that makes the breakfasts and the lunches. Then 7:30.
He's a chef, too. We got to add yes. that to your bio.
I love it. Yeah. No, 7:30 to 8, I do executive coaching calls. I'm one of or been proclaimed as one of the top business coaches in the world. Then 8 o'clock, I execute on the student in my calendar, which we'll get into. Mm-hmm. Then at 4:45, I then coach again till 5:15, 5:30 until 7. Everything's off. I do only family time complete off. And then 7 to 9, I do studying again. I study my calendar, research, more family time, whatever I want. And then 9 o'clock on is a wind down routine. Where I wind down so that I make sure that I pass out when I run out of energy in the right place, in the right mindset, so that I can start the next day at 4. Now, you asked about COVID. I've always had an adaptable routine. An adaptable routine is one in which is value-based. So what does that look like? First priority before anything else goes into the calendar is a minimum of an hour a day on my health. If I don't take care of myself, I can't take care of others. Mm-hmm. Then comes my family. So I spend a minimum of 30 minutes a day with my wife, a minimum of 30 minutes a day with my 10-year-old son, minimum of 2 minutes a day with the teenage girls. I ask for 5. I ask for 5. Give me a break. They only gave me 2. And then this is for all you kids too, especially their Tony there. Minimum of 1 minute a day for my mom. And okay. I know that might, like, what are you talking about? Here's the 4 things your parents want to know. And if you want to have a good relationship with them, just tell them these 4 things every day. Number 1, tell them that you are healthy. That's their number 1 concern. 2, mm-hmm. tell your parents that you're happy. They only want you to be happy, regardless of all the pressure you think they're putting on you and all the weird things they tell you to do and don't do and guilt that they force upon you. Truth is, if you remind them every day that you're happy and healthy, you're going to change their lives. 3, tell them you love them, right? They want your love. And then 4, tell them that you appreciate them, meaning that you're grateful for them, but also they add value to your life and you want to add value to them. Appreciate. So if you spend a minimum of 1 minute a day with your parents and you literally just leave them a text, an email, or a phone call or a message that says, hey, just wanted to check in today to tell you that I am so healthy, happy, I love you and appreciate you, you will change your relationship with them tenfold, I promise. Now, adaptable routine, now study my calendar for a minimum of 10 minutes a day. And then I can execute. So what is student of your calendar? Best thing I can teach anyone, one of the most difficult habits to have. I'm still practicing to make sure that I'm doing it the best I can. But studying your calendar means, 1, studying means pay attention to plus intention, which is what you think, say, do, believe, and knowing your unconscious competencies, your personality trait, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions in order to create a process of efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success. So you're going to study attention plus
intention.
You have to rewind it, but attention plus intention equals the coincidences you want in your life. A coincidence is not luck. It's a mathematical occurrence caused by your intention and attention. It coincides. When things coincide perfectly, it's mathematical, like an angle coinciding in a perfect time and place. Now, study what you have planned every day. Study what you have planned. Study what you don't have planned, the white space, the empty space of your calendar. It'll make you even more productive. And then study your sleep. Realize that sleep is the most ignored habit that we have, but it's also the number one habit we all share. 8 hours a day. We all do it every single day. It's when your ego is out of your way and you're connected to this great source of love, light, and lessons. So study your sleep. Study your calendar every single day with a lens of number one, productivity, which means how much value am I bringing to this situation I planned, I don't have planned in my sleep. Study with the lens of accessibility. How accessible am I to others? And how am I accessing what I want? Remember, receiving so important because you can't give what you don't have, and giving everything away, giving your life away and everything in it is how you will be happy, guaranteed. It's the highest frequency of love, light, and lessons that exist. And then also have a lens of gratitude, which is that protractor.
So
that
important you to now, even more than ever, I feel like.
For sure. Find the light, love, and lessons and everything. Remember, everyone, you will not love what you do. I have been around the greatest celebrities, athletes, and entertainers. I've held jobs that are dream jobs for other people. I probably hold one right now that a lot of people dream of. But I don't love every part of it, right? I don't. I had to learn to love the portion or percentage that I don't love of everything I do. I have a lens of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. I'm always finding the light, the love, and the lessons in everything that I do. And if I'm not, if I'm in the ego-based consciousness, I stop. I breathe, and then I roll in the right trajectory to find those light, to find the love and lessons. And my life is so much better, not just for me, but for everything that comes through me for others.
Absolutely. That's amazing. Okay, so I can't believe this. Time flies when you're having fun. We have about 5 minutes left, and I know some people are asking questions. How are you going to be involved in the private group? I'm not sure. Let's just keep rocking and rolling, and people can comment their questions on the bottom.
Yeah, just have them reach out to me. Go to my text number. Go to my david@dmeltzer.com if you have questions for me. I'm happy to answer.
That, like, talk about accessibility. I am blown away that you give people your phone number. Like, that's incredible. Have you had any crazy stories where it's turned out for the worst? Because I think that's a reservation for a lot of people to widely provide their phone number.
Yeah, well, you know, like, what's the difference? I let them DM me, they can text me. What's funny about it is that when people are angry, they're angry. And whether they DM me, email me, post something on here that's silly, most of the people, something's wrong, so I want to find out. And 99% of the people that are attacking or judgmental, all I do is ask them, please reach out to me. I'd love to learn why and see how I could be of service to you. And 99% are too afraid. And the one that does, they're usually apologetic and like, hey, I wasn't feeling good, or I'm sorry for doing that. I just wanted to spark, you know, so I have no problems. My biggest problem is time. So the one thing I ask for people is patience. If I don't get right back to you, or if I get back to you and I'm a little shorter than I normally would be, you know, I can't afford to spend 30 minutes with everyone, but I try to get to the point. I do give free trainings every Friday with Q&A. I do office hours every day. I have lives every day. They're all free, and you can attest, I never sell anything. The only thing I ever sell is to come to my free stuff. That's the only thing I ever ask.
That's what I've seen from following you, and I'm so excited. I'm definitely going to tune in. It's 2 p.m. Eastern time, so I'm on the East Coast, so I will be there. I'm so excited and looking forward to it. This has been awesome and incredible. I guess just to wrap it up, like, advice for college students during this challenging time. Like, what advice would you give your daughter right now just to stay like positive, sane, and happy?
Yeah. So there's a word that I learned growing up. It's called remember. And it used to frustrate me because, like, my parents would tell me, you got to remember this. You got to remember, like, you know, I grew up in a Jewish culture. So it was like the Jews coming out of Egypt, or, you know, remember the Holocaust, or all these things I'm remembering. And as a kid, I was like, what do you mean? Why would I forget it? I'm not stupid. You know, remember means something else to me. And remembering is taking the love, the light, and the lessons from every situation and applying it. And remember means to unify with something. So go ahead and enjoy this experience. Smile in the struggles. Realize, use this as an opportunity that you're able to find light, love, and lessons when other people may not be able to. Separate yourself from other people by being able to be productive and accessible and gracious during this time. There's so many positive things that you'll never experience again. Take it from me. I have had the best 10 weeks, and I'm not embarrassed to tell people or guilty. I've had the best 10 weeks of my life. And yes, my kids are at home. They may never be, like, and if they weren't at home, I'd pick something else that was happening that makes it better than it ever has. You look for the superpowers in people. Look for the superpowers in the situation. I promise you, if you look for the bad in people, you'll get the bad. If you look for the negative in a situation, you'll get the negative. If you look for the light, if you look for the lessons, or you look for the love, that's what's going to come your way regardless of what's happening outside. I promise you, light, love, and lessons are coming your way, and you can control what you think, your mindset. You can control your feelings. You can control what you think, say, and do. And knowing that should give you great certainty that your life will be fulfilled and you will love every part of it while we're having all these difficulties.
Hey, podcast listeners, thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.